sales promotions and pricing strategies. Sales promotions are typically used in the market to trigger sales, to generate action from the customer and precipitate the purchase decision by the customer. So sales offers, which means buy one get one free or free samples or coupons, can actually arouse the customer interest in purchasing your product and service, or getting at least or inducing trial of your product and service in the market. Promotion may also enable you to sell a higher amount in the market and thereby reduce competition's ability to sell at that time when your promotion is happening. So sales promotion may also define what kind of pricing parameters you may use. Now, as we discussed earlier, the range of possible prices that you can charge in the market therefore depends on the nature of the demand, the your business and marketing strategy, the level of product differentiation, the competitive prices, prices of substitutes, and finally, how much is it costing you to manufacture, produce, sell, and service that product at the customer end. Pricing objectives. Three types of pricing objectives are there in a typical pricing strategy. You can look at profit-oriented pricing objectives, or sales-oriented pricing objectives, or status quo-oriented pricing objectives. Now, profit-oriented pricing objective typically define the target return the organization wishes to earn on a product or on an investment, or it may be designed to maximize the profits. The sales-oriented pricing objective may look at sales growth, or what is the growth in market share that the company wants to target using price as an approach. The status quo-oriented pricing objective is linked to whether we want to have prices that are competition-based, and what will be the non-price competition parameters that we will use to position our product in the market. There is one more pricing objective apart from these three, which is not mentioned in the slide, which is called the survival pricing. Now, survival pricing is not a long-term pricing objective and is done in specific situations, like you have an oversupply in the industry. Too many goods are being produced and sold to very few customers, or very few customers are buying it, in which case you may have a pricing objective of what kind of price will make you survive in this market. The second time that you, when you use a survival pricing, is when the economy is in a recession and it is showing a negative growth in the GDP. So only under these two circumstances and these two situations will you have survival pricing as an objective. Survival pricing can never be a long-term or a everlasting objective of the company, because it is done only to meet that specific situation, and the moment the parameters of the situation change or the signs of the economy change, you will return to either a profit-oriented, sales-oriented, or a status quo-oriented pricing objective. Having decided the pricing objective, you may want to do the pricing. You can calculate the price by a number of methods. So some of the methods are the markup pricing, the second is called keystoning, the third is profit maximization, you can use a break-even analysis, and you can have the target return pricing method. A quick look at what are these methods. So a markup percentage is nothing but the percentage of profit that you think you want to add over the cost of the product to arrive at the selling price. Now, this approach of markup percentage is also guided by the middleman. So for example, if your cost is 100 rupees and you want to earn 20% margin and you have to pay 15% commissions and discounts to the middlemen or the channel partners, then your margin will be accordingly defined. So you will add 100, you will add 20% as your margin, you will add another 15% to account for the middlemen and the channel partners, and then arrive at the final market price or the list price that the customer may be willing to charge. Now, it is also the markup percentage is also related to the gross margin that the company wishes to earn, and you may use a complete chain, you know, that this is my price to the distributor, distributor will then sell it to the wholesaler, wholesaler will then sell it to the dealer, and the dealer will finally sell it to the customer. You may create a pricing chain when you have a distribution channel of that type. The second method of defining or determining the price is keystoning. This method is very simple. You find the cost of the product, say the cost is X, and you mark the price by 100%, therefore the end price to the customer is 2X. Or if your cost is 100, you will charge the customer 200 as the price. So doubling the cost of the product is typically what we call keystoning method. Then you have the break-even pricing. Now, this is the price at which the company breaks even in terms of the cost. Now, this is actually the point at which the total cost will be equal to the total revenue. Now, break-even point can be stated in rupee terms or it can be stated in terms of percentage. Every price creates a different break-even point. The point to be noted over here is that the break-even analysis is helpful in understanding how the company will become profitable in the near future, but is not a pricing method. So this is an example of a break-even analysis. So if you see the x-axis, you have mapped the quantity that you are going to sell in units, and on the y-axis you're plotting the cost, revenue and the profit. So if you see the green fixed total fixed cost line, that is the fixed cost of the organization, which doesn't change whether the production or the sales is zero or the production is 1200 units. Then the total cost line, which is the blue color line, which starts at something like the total variable cost line, that is the variable cost that is being incurred on the production, and how the variable cost keeps changing every time the output goes up, and that gives you the total cost, which is the sum total of the fixed cost and the variable cost. What is the revenue the organization that is going to get if the price is 80 rupees and the break-even point is at 500 units at the point where the total cost is equal to the total revenue. So at 40,000 rupees of revenue, the total cost and the total revenue are the same. Below 500 units, the organization is in a loss, and above 500 units, the organization is in a profit, as you can see in the chart on your laptops right now. So this is typically how break-even analysis is used in understanding the movement of profit and loss with different price point. Now please note, the revenue curve will change at every price. So if you have 80 rupees, you have a revenue curve. If you change the price to 100 rupees, the revenue curve will move further up and the break-even point will come lower. If you reduce the price to 60, the revenue curve will move towards your right and the break-even point will increase. So you have to be careful as to how you price the product using the break-even analysis, so that you are able to get a win-win situation with the customer and with the organization in terms of the profit. The target return pricing is a method which focuses on covering all the costs that the organization has incurred in manufacturing, producing this product, and it is designed to create a target return. So for example, if the objective of the organization is to earn a return of 12% on their investment, then they will calculate the return, they will calculate the total investment, see what 12% return on that investment is, and then divide that profit based on the output or the number of product units that they intend to sell in the market to arrive at a target return price. A very important step in setting the price is understanding the customer's price sensitivity. You may price a product at any point or at any level. However, is this level of price A, acceptable to the customer? Are there any substitutes of meeting the same need which the customer can use at the cost of buying your product? Is it easy to compare the prices? What is the mindset of the person who actually pays the bill for that product or who foots the bill of that product? How good or how great is the end benefit? And is there a sunk investment related to the purchase? So, for example, what do you mean by sunk investment is nothing. For example, if you have bought a DVD player, that is a sunk investment. You are forced to buy DVDs to run on that DVD player. And therefore, the price of the DVD is not so important to you because you've already invested 3,000 or 4,000 rupees in purchasing the DVD player. So you have to determine all these elements in understanding and evaluating the customer's price sensitivity. Basis this understanding of the customer's price sensitivity, you may have to fine-tune or adjust the final price to make it a winning proposition for the customer to buy your product over the competitor's product. Now, having set the prices, there are different pricing methods used by marketeers and sellers in the short term or in the short run to trigger either customer purchase or to trigger sales or to increase demand or to sell inventories that they may have with them in the factory. So, one of the different pricing methods that I use is as follows. One is on value. This is a method which is followed very typically by retailers, large retailers, who focus on how much the customer saves. You will find advertisements coming in the newspapers by Big Bazaar or Reliance Fresh and other retail chains focusing on the savings that the customer is generating by shopping with them. So you will find, say, Big Bazaar saying 5 kgs of sugar costs 150, now available to you at 120 rupees, you save 30 rupees. So the focus is on how much saving the customer will generate by shopping in that retail outlet. The second way of creating a different pricing is reference points, reference prices. Now, reference prices are nothing but the price that the customer expects to pay for a certain product. Many customers have a informal idea that this product should cost so much, and therefore, using that reference point, you may do your pricing. So, for example, your product is costing you 30 rupees to manufacture and you want to price that product at a 50% margin, giving you a price point of 45 rupees. However, the customer feels the price should be in the range of 75 or 80 rupees. Therefore, you can price the product at that reference price of 75, 80 rupees and thereby get a higher margin. The third method of pricing is what we call the bait pricing. This is a deceptive way of, you know, pricing the product in a manner which catches the customer's attention and tries to get him in the store to purchase the product. So, example is when Akai launched its TV in India, the price tag was kept as 9950. Many people rushed to buy a television, a color television, at less than 10,000 rupees. But there was a hidden cost of delivery of 2,500 rupees, which was not advertised in the newspaper. So, it was used as a bait. The pricing was used as a bait to attract the customer to the store to make a purchase. Then, the other method of pricing is auctions. Typically happens in airline tickets, and many airlines have these prices of tickets varying by the number of days before the date of travel you have booked your flight, or seasonal, they will price it seasonally, or they will create auctions to sell tickets at a certain price point. So this is a different pricing method. Then you have the loss leader pricing approach, where this is again done by retailing organizations. What the retailing organization will do is pick up a leader in a category and price it at near cost or slightly below cost. So, for example, there could be a retail outlet, or it could be Wrangler itself, which says, jeans available, Wrangler jeans available at 399 rupees. What they have done, Wrangler is a leader in the jeans category, or is one of the leaders in the jeans category, and they have priced it at near cost or slightly below cost to attract the customer. Now, the logic of this pricing is to create a footfall strategy to make customers enter the retail outlet. The product which is advertised as this, at this loss or at near cost, will be kept at the end of the retail outlet, and the customer will go through the lanes and by lanes of the retail outlet picking up hundreds of other products before he reaches the counter where this product which has been advertised is available. The logic is to make the customer purchase many more products, and then if he likes the jeans or the other product that has got advertised, to buy. The other pricing method is psychological pricing. Now, psychological pricing is done for products that may have a special appeal to the target customers. So, for example, in a country like India, gold, jewelry, diamonds may have a special appeal to the customers. You may price the gold in a psychological manner, or if you are, for example, you're gifting this gold to your mother or your parents on a parents' day, that may have a special pricing. Or if you're giving a gift to your spouse on, say, on your wedding anniversary, you can have psychological pricing done for such products. Then you have prestige pricing, which is typically setting a price at a level high enough to suggest a higher quality or a high status, which is called prestige pricing. So what you do is you take a product and you price it at a higher level, thereby creating an aura of snob or an aura of prestige around that product. Then you have bid pricing. Bid pricing typically happens in tenders, where you put a price specific to the product or solution that you are selling. And it is possible, for you to get that order, you will do bid pricing. A negotiated pricing is what happens in business. Bid pricing typically happens in government tenders and tenders of public sector undertaking. Then you have negotiated pricing, where typically happens between B2B customers or industrial customers. This is based on the bargaining power between the supplier and the customer, or between the buyer and the seller. And finally, you have the demand backward pricing. Demand backward pricing is to select a price that the final customer is willing to pay, and then work backwards to what the producer can charge. So these are the different kinds of pricing methods that you can use. Having discussed so much about pricing so far, let us understand how the method of setting the price works. As in management, you always start with the objectives. So the first step is establish your pricing goals or set your pricing objectives. The second step is estimate the demand, costs, and the profits that you want to have. The third step is to choose a pricing strategy, fine-tune with the pricing tactics, and the last step is select the right price. And the sixth step after this, which is not mentioned here, is to define your complete pricing policy, which means the prices, the discounts, the promotions, the payment terms. If you're selling to the distribution channel, what is the price at each stage of the distribution channel, so on and so forth, will be defined in the pricing policy. We have not so far discussed the pricing strategy, so let us have a look at the three basic pricing strategies that can happen in a marketing situation. The first is called a skimming pricing strategy. The second is the penetration pricing. The third is the status quo pricing. Now, what is the skimming pricing? The skimming pricing is a method by which the company charges a very high initial price and coupled with aggressive promotion. The logic is to recover the cost of product development or research and development or a new product innovation, to recover the as much cost as possible in the initial phase. Now, if this strategy is typically successful when the demand is relatively inelastic, the product is legally protected, or there is a shortage of that product. A good example of skimming pricing strategy is patented drugs. Another good example of skimming pricing is the Intel chips that come out for computers and laptops. Intel always charges a very high price and then reduces it after the cost has been recovered, then reduces it further to make it accessible by larger segments of the market. The penetration pricing, on the other hand, is designed to capture higher market share. This pricing approach is suitable in price-sensitive markets, where a small reduction in price can increase the demand for the product by a larger amount. Now, firms which have a good learning curve or a good experience curve will also profit from reduced costs as volume increases. So, this is also used by companies which have a good experience curve, where typically they know how the cost will fall once higher volumes are achieved. Finally, you have the status quo pricing strategy, which is a competitor-based pricing approach where you price near about what the competition is charging in the market. Apart from the pricing strategy, you may want to do fine-tuning. Now, fine-tuning are typically short-term approaches that do not change the general or the basic price level, but allows the organization to adjust for higher competition in certain markets, or to accommodate seasonal requirements, or to accommodate or manage festivals that are coming in by giving higher or by you organizing promotions around those elements. So this is not something that is done on a long-term basis, but this is something that happens on a short-term basis. Now, coming to types of discounts which you see in the market, you have a variety of discounts. You have quantity discounts, where customers get better prices based on the higher quantities they purchase. You get a cash discount, which is typically a discount which is given if the customer pays upfront for the product or the payment terms are very suitable to the seller. Then you have functional discounts. You may get certain discounts for buying certain functions, or you may get freebies added to the product in the form of functional discounts. So for example, if you're buying a rice cooker to cook rice, then there could be an idli mold that you can get as a part of the rice cooker as a functional discount. Then you have seasonal discounts. These are discounts which happen in Diwali, Christmas, and or the rainy season or the monsoon discount or the winter discount and so on and so forth, or the seasonal discount. There are festival discounts which happen in Diwali and Christmas. Then you have rebates, which is typically a cash refund given for the purchase of a product within a specified period. So there are companies which will say that if you buy a product, say between 1st of September and 15th of September, you will be given a cash rebate. Finally, ending our discussion on pricing, the summary: price is something that is given in exchange to acquire a product or service. Price is the only P of marketing that generates revenue. All other P's are costs. Price is the amount of money that you charge for something of value to the customer. Price is one of the important P's of the marketing mix. Penetration pricing, skimming pricing strategy, and status quo pricing are the pricing strategies that are available to a marketing person. The marketing objectives of the organization play a very crucial role in the pricing decision, and different kinds of pricing methods and different types of discounts have their own role to play in triggering the sales or to creating customer demand. Thank you for your time and attention.